Healthcare Regulation Redux.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. One of the criticisms of the recent healthcare overhaul was that it would encourage employers to stop offering insurance to their workers. Employers would shed the cost, forcing then government-run exchanges to pick up the tab. Well, today the White House spelled out some new rules that would plug that drain. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live from the healthcare desk at WHYY in Philadelphia. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
So how would these rules encourage employers to keep paying for health care?
Well, the White House is saying that if these employer-based plans follow certain rules, then they won't have to comply with all the new requirements of health care law. For example, there's a new requirement that all plans cover lab work and prescription drugs and free preventive care. A business could avoid those requirements if it kept its plan within what the White House is now determining is a reasonable price.
And so what is that reasonable price?
Well, most of the rules say there can't be any dramatic changes to your current plan. For example, if you're now being charged $50 for emergency room copay, you can't suddenly be charged $75.
And who is this aimed at, Gregory? Will it work, do you think? I mean, how do you think this will work?
Well, business groups have been demanding just this kind of exemption because they don't want to have to rejigger their benefit plans to accommodate all the healthcare reform laws. Even with these incentives, though, we know that when those government-run exchanges come online in 2014, some number of employers will drop their plans or, say, give their employees a check and tell them to go shop for themselves. And small and mid-sized businesses would be more likely to take that step.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner reporting from the healthcare desk. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Meanwhile, the president gives his first Oval Office speech tomorrow, and it'll be about the BP oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. The administration now says it wants BP to put money into this escrow account to pay businesses that have lost money during the past month. Now, BP's board of directors is meeting today to discuss it. Shares of the oil giant are off 5% in London, which says something because markets overseas are up today. The FTSE's up 0.5%. German and French shares are higher by more than 1% right now. Asian markets ended the day higher as well. The Dow rose 39 points Friday, ended the week up by nearly 3%. That's its best showing in a few months. And all signs point to some gains today as well. An unusual ribbon cutting in the Bronx today. Local politicians in New York will be gathering to unveil an electric truck, the first of its kind in the city, from station WNYC. Andrea Bernstein reports.
Hunts Point in the Bronx is a peninsula home to lots of wholesalers. Ed Taylor owns Down East Seafood.
It's a food hub. We feed the city food here. There's the vegetable market here, the fish market, the meat market, and there's a lot of trucks.
16,000 a day. The asthma rate is also high, 7 times the national average. So when Congressman Jose Serrano called Taylor and said he could get a grant for a zero-emissions truck, Taylor jumped.
We call her Big Green. We plug her in.
An electric truck costs over $200,000, about 4 times what a regular truck costs. Sounds expensive, but if gas runs what it did 2 summers ago, it pays for itself. Taylor says he has another motivation, independence from oil. In the wake of the BP oil spill, that has Congress's attention, too. Serrano says he'll push for funding for thousands of such trucks nationwide. In New York, I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
That report is part of the Transportation Nation Public Radio Reporting Project. For more, check us out online at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com. American Public Media presents The Great Textbook War, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the Batten Institute at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
You may not have noticed it, but over the weekend, an anniversary passed, an important one that could mark the first time we saw clues about the weakness of the United States financial system, one that Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us this morning to talk about. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So why is today such a big deal?
Because this is the first trading day of the fourth year of the worldwide financial meltdown.
Wait a second. I thought the financial meltdown was 1 or 2 years old.
Actually, it started, at least by my count, on June 12th of 2007, which is the day it became public that two Bear Stearns hedge funds speculating in mortgages were about to collapse.
So today begins year four. Why should we care about that?
Because there has been a lot of damage in 3 years that you have to take into account when you figure out what to do going forward. And people now are making the same kinds of mistakes that they made 3 years ago.
What kind of mistakes, Alan?
Investing in what has been doing well rather than in what's likely to do well. And what we're talking about now are bond funds, which has become America's favorite investment. And they're dumping stocks, and that's sure not what I'm doing.
What's the lesson here? What would you tell someone who wants to invest some money, either in the stock market or in the bond market?
Well, I would tell them that, again, assuming you have a long enough time horizon, that I sure would rather own stocks that have high quality and dividends and earnings and things like that than own bonds, which are almost sure to decline in value because interest rates are surely going up.
So the safer bet then in this case would be stocks.
Right. It looks riskier, but I think it's much safer.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally, it's at least a 77-year-old debate whether James Joyce's celebrated novel Ulysses is obscene. Well, back in 1933, a U.S. federal judge said no, allowing the book entry into this country. Today, an illustrator of a comic book, a comic web version of the book, says Apple's reopened the debate. The maker of the iPad took offense to the nude picture of a female character as part of the new comic book app. The illustrator said he originally offered to pixelate the questionable parts. No dice, said Apple. He even offered the age-old cover-up a fig leaf. Apple said, keep it clean. Nope. And they only approve the app with a cropped image of the woman's face. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org and follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis, MMR.
American Public Media.